email thedrive@espnau.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on another nice-looking spring-like day. I actually was sort of hoping. I checked the weather yesterday, and it was like a 60% chance of rain today. So I put out, patched a bunch of holes in the yard with some sod, and my wife planted I don't know how many plants, and the rain didn't come. So, I mean, it's fine that the rain didn't come. I'm just going to have to do some watering when I get home. But hope everybody doing well on the Wednesday drive. Bill here. Dan is at the controls today. What's up with that?
Not much. Drew has been called into duty on campus. Sometimes things
I'm still
get hairy.
I'll tell you this. I'm still on the email list. And I've seen, by the way, Ken has asked about a dozen times, take me off the email list. I have not asked. I don't mind. It's like, okay, I just delete them. I haven't really noticed, but I did see there was an abundance of emails today of I'm sick, I've got a test, I've got things like that. So I can understand. So Drew, yeah, hopefully Drew will be in before the end of the show, but Dan's got it right now.
Yeah. In the meantime, I'm in the Drew chair, and Bill is in the usual captain's seat, and we've got our usual Wednesday guest.
That's right, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, part of the 24/7 network, is here in the studio. JC, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, you're right. This is kind of a perfect spring day.
Oh, it is.
It's a little overcast. Not the bright beat down sunny where you're burning up already, which is coming. We know it's coming. Yeah, nice day. Good day to kind of be outside and get a few things done and take a walk or do something like that. So good day to be out.
Yeah, well, I got the steps in without doing the walking. Let me see.
Today, yeah, well, you were walking just in.
Oh yeah, what do you?
I'm a little over 17,000 steps
look
today.
Look at you.
Okay. So, I mean, well, that's carrying grass and setting it in.
Those are yard work steps.
Those are real steps.
Those count. Those are on the treadmill with the.
I got a lot more of those done in the spring.
With the hands holding the rails, you know, you're not cheating.
Yeah, look. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I took a shower a little while ago. You guys would be thankful for that. But took a shower a little while ago. Stepped on the scale. It was down like 5 pounds over the last couple of days, just because I've been doing that kind of stuff. So it's good.
Well, do you have any projects? Like, is there anything you really want to do in the yard, or anything you want to make over, or anything?
I have done a good bit. Yeah. I mean, I had a couple of areas.
Are these things that you'd been putting off until, like, okay, once I retire, I'll have time?
I mean, it's the kind of thing that used to take all spring because I'd only be able to do it on the weekend. But, I mean, it's like areas where either grass has died or the dog has killed the grass or it's washed or things like that. Probably, I probably laid a little over a half pallet, maybe closer to a pallet's worth of sod. Over the last few days and just trimming bushes and plants while I carry the pots for the wife to plant.
Jason Kennedy around will also get that.
That was more tiring than anything I've done the last couple of days. Just had the granddaughter for the weekend. Matt and Aria were gone from Friday night. So I missed the Friday and Saturday baseball games. I was there Thursday night. But Friday and Saturday, we had her, and it was either her bedtime or nap time.
Uh-huh.
Made it over last night. It was nice to get a win. You started going, oh, no, when Auburn scored 8 in the first, and then at the end of the third, or excuse me, in the fourth, it's 8-7.
8-7, yeah, a little challenge. Some young guys stepped up and made some pitches there at the end. It'd be interesting to see what – the pitching staff looks like this weekend. I think Herbert Holtz was a guy they thought
he might be waiting for the weekend. He was the second guy in.
Yeah, I don't know I think they were going to throw him anyway as a bullpen type thing, but I don't know now if that's where you go. I think we'll see Tanner Bowman again, and my guess would be Saturday. I think you need to have a veteran guy ready for Saturday because it's Super Bulldog weekend, and there'll be 17,000 people at that game Saturday probably, depending on the weather. Supposed to be 90% chance of rain here Sunday, which means it could impact them from a spring game.
Could be there Saturday.
Yes.
Right.
So we'll see. I think Bowman, I wouldn't be surprised if you go back to Connor McBride on Friday night to see. Mm-hmm. Then maybe TBA on Sunday just to see, where you haven't gone yet. But, just an opportunity now for this team to kind of push the reset button. Obviously, to say you put your back against the wall would be an understatement. Now your first goal is to, hey, just you know, it's next pitch, you know, mentality, and this is all you can do. And so right now your first goal is to, hey, just to try to string some wins together and see if you can get to Hoover and then see what you can do moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to try to just win a game and then hopefully win a series and then go from there. But, yeah, I heard the question a little earlier, and I wasn't able to look this up, but somebody asked, when was the last time Auburn started 2-13? I only found one season in Auburn baseball history in the SEC where they have had a winning percentage anywhere close to what it is now. Now, obviously, it's not good, you know, just because you are what you are now, you've got 15 more games to change that. But the only season in which Auburn would have, I think, even had a shot of starting like this was 1983, Paul Nix's next to the last season, when they were 4-18 in conference. So, I mean, Auburn hasn't lost. I mean, I can remember an 0-9 start with Steve Renfro.
Yes.
But I don't know that I can recall anything like 2-13 after 15 games.
Yeah, I'm trying to find Auburn was 2-14 in 2021. So there you go.
And Butch, the year we went 8-22?
No, went 10-20.
Oh, okay.
But that was the year where you had all three starting pitchers injured.
Yep. Oh, okay.
And so just a few years ago when when you had guys coming back from – Jack Owen was coming back from injury, and you lost Bull. He kind of pitched through his, but Richard Fitz was injured too. Mm-hmm. So they were 2-14 after losing at Florida.
All right, well, so there's the answer.
Yeah, so just
2021, just mm-hmm. 3 years ago.
It's an important series to sort of bounce back if you're going to bounce back. If you're gonna, I mean, you are pretty far behind the eight ball here. I mean, we were saying you have to go 8-7 to get to 10-20. To finish this, I mean, you have to play above 500 the rest of the way to finish 10-20 halfway through. I'm more excited to see. I mean, it would be an amazing story if this team fought their way back into postseason consideration. But I'm looking at, and I think maybe you would be someone who can provide possible examples of players with eligibility remaining who could make a case over these last 15 games, and I think especially starting pitchers who could make a case that they are foundational pieces of next year's team, or guys that are going to be part of the solution. And that's not playing for pride. That's playing for your job.
Well,
that's playing for a role,
your scholarship,
a serious role on next year's team.
Yeah, you're not going to punt on a season because you can get to the SEC tournament and make some noise, do those things. That's always going to be the goal for now. But you're right. I think let's start on the other side first. I think from a position player standpoint, you look and you go, there's obviously some foundation pieces that are continuing to emerge. If you can get Cooper McMurray back for another year, that's a foundation piece. Obviously, Ike Irish is a foundation piece. Chris Stanfield, I think, is going to continue to come on. You know, it has kind of been back and forth a little bit. That's a guy, but Kay Ballou in that freshman class. Mm-hmm. We've seen Eric Guevara now a couple of times. He is absolutely going to be a foundation piece. I think Derek Fabian's a guy that has, you know, he's got eligibility left.
Yeah, he's got a couple of years. If one at Cole Edwards last night.
Edwards, Cale Strickland. There's some foundation pieces.
Yeah, Strickland hit the crap out of the ball last night.
He's going to be a really good player. And so you start going, there's some foundation pieces from a position player standpoint that I think you're starting to see emerge a little bit.
Before we get to the list of pitchers that would also fit that description, I would say – another reason you can't just punt on this season, you need to show signs of life. Guys like Ike and Cooper have a decision to make after this year if they want to come back to a team that goes 6-24 in SEC play. Ike Irish would be welcome
anywhere.
They've already had to fight this battle once.
Yeah.
They had to fight it after his freshman year. It's just the nature of the game. You're going to have to fight that battle.
The more you win from here until the end of the season, maybe the better your chances are of convincing Ike Irish to be part of whatever next year's team is.
Yeah, I think, you know, here's the thing about him. He's going to get drafted no matter where he plays, but you go, okay, you'd like to be on a team that pushes forward. And so I think you're right. Can you continue to make some strides, do those things? Pitching standpoint, I think you're exactly right. Right now, you go, you got to find – what pieces that you feel good about heading into next season? who do you feel good about? And, hey, it could be a potential starter, whatever it is. What pieces do you go, hey, I believe in them? We saw a little bit of that starting last night. We had not seen Hayden Murphy in a while. We hadn't seen Drew Nelson in a while. No. Cam Keyshock in a while. We hadn't seen those guys. Okay, first time back out there was a positive against a really good. I mean, that's a good Georgia Tech offensive team.
Yeah, because like I said, I mean, it was 8-7 in the fourth, and you thought, oh my, Auburn's going to give up double digits again, and one more run the rest of the game.
Something Cooper said yesterday, or something Cooper said Monday. We re-ran it yesterday because of technical difficulties, but something Cooper said was the reason, and Butch said it during the pregame on Saturday. Was the reason Tanner Baumann was out there was because they believed in the captains of this team believed in a must-win game in an urgent situation. He's the guy they trust the most with the ball. He's got eligibility remaining, and would be a guy who, like, boy, would a strong finish to the 2024 season, you know, put some wind at his back going into next year. And you saw a little bit of it in that game against Kentucky before he exited after about four innings.
Yeah, and I think, can you stretch out a little bit more? That's the goal. And it all, honestly, it's a very similar situation. Last year, Tommy Vail was the single reason why that pitching staff turned it around, because when you go out on a Friday night and you know you're getting seven innings and you know you're going to give yourself a chance to win, it changes the entire complexion of a weekend versus 2 2/3. I mean, it's just a huge difference. He did it. Can Tanner Baumann do that in the second half of the season? Because if he does, then it's a changing thing for this team. Can he become that guy?
We were talking on Monday. He probably made a compelling argument to be a starter this weekend in the game.
Oh, I think from now on, I think he's a guy that you go, okay, let's, because you got to find a role. I think he's, last year he was much more comfortable, looked like, in that short stint. This year it looks like he's more comfortable in, hey, give me the ball, let me start, kind of settle into a game. So I think that's fit him. Yeah, here's what in my mind is a no doubt situation. I think no doubt if you're Auburn, you're going to go find two potential weekend starters out of the portal. I don't think there's any question about that. I think you've got to go find two guys that have done it and done it at a high level.
And that maybe is a little bit disappointing considering how many pitchers came into this season with potential to grow into a guy like that. But you're right.
You're defending national champ, LSU went to the portal and got a number one starter. And they've recruited better than anybody in the country. And they're also sitting here at 3-12.
Yeah, they're the only other team besides Auburn that's hasn't won at least five conference games. Yeah. That's crazy.
And so it is.
Well, I'm not saying they shouldn't do it.
It is what it is now. And I come back to a conversation I had with Carl Nonnemaker a couple of years ago. He said, how do you get old on the mound? Because you're throwing 18-year-olds against 23-year-olds. Because everywhere you look in this league, Auburn's playing some young guys in some positions. Most everybody else you play right now is playing juniors, seniors, and grads that are coming to the plate. And you're an 18-year-old and you're facing a 22-year-old. That's a huge difference. And so that's not the way it used to be. It used to be, well, you're facing guys your age and they're playing freshmen, they're playing sophomores. And now you look, and I mean, let's look at this Auburn team. You look at Mason Maynard and Cooper Weiss and Derek Fabian, and on their old Bobby Pierce. I mean, like, this is an older offensive team. It's tough to find that on the mound without going to get transfers. And I think you're absolutely right. Basketball's the same sport. Look, how many young teams now go out and make runs in the NCAA tournament? You don't find them. It's the teams that are experienced and have been there and done it.
And it looks like it's going to continue with unlimited transfers. Ooh. I mean, we were talking yesterday about the receiver from Milton who is going to be heading to his third school in three semesters. But, I mean, now it looks like the NCAA is just going to go, okay, have at it, everybody, transfer whenever you want. No penalties.
Which seems to be a reaction to court rulings, right? Like the fact that they continually. I mean, the one back in December that opened up the eligibility of players who had already been undergraduate transfers feels like the NCAA is reacting to a lot of their rules seemingly not standing up in court. Yeah. And so now, what they're doing instead is saying, well, then you know what? What good are the rules?
That's it. But they're still trying to make rules, because I'm gonna read their tweets in order. The Division I Council adopts rules allowing schools to assist student athletes with the NIL opportunities if those student athletes disclose NIL activities valuing $600+ to their schools. Decision is not final until the meeting concludes Thursday. Moving forward, schools can identify NIL opportunities, facilitate deals between student athletes and third parties, provide a reasonable grace period to student athletes who do not report NIL information within 30 days. Student athletes are not obligated to accept assistance from the school, and those who accept school help must retain their authority over terms of agreements. The existing rules against pay for play in schools compensating student athletes for use of their NIL remain in place.
Were student athletes, were they obligated before today's new rule? Were they obligated to report any of their NIL money to the schools? Because that seems like
I don't think they were.
Maybe that's a new wrinkle in this.
The funny part of this is the existing rules against pay for play in schools compensating student athletes remain in place. What rule for against pay for play is in place right now? There's one on paper. Is it that's not a rule, because it's happening all over the country?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder. I mean, the notion of
if it wasn't, then we wouldn't have a quarterback that, you know, talking about, hey, he's getting this deal to go to Ohio State or wherever, or Miami. You wouldn't have that, because that's what that is.
I would think that, you know, if you think about what were violations 5, 10, 20 years ago, right? Like the idea of the booster with the head.
Remember, guy gets his picture taken. They want to use his picture on a calendar, and he's declared an eligible.
But I'm saying more like the shadier, sleazier, like, okay, so the pizza box full of cash, or the guy with the handful of money doing the handshake. Like, are those still violations that can jeopardize?
Okay, according to the NCAA.
Right, so that's what. So,
but you can go ahead and sign an NIL agreement.
That's right.
And get paid $4 million.
Right. So just a strictly...
Just a piece of paper.
Yeah. I mean,
there's no... Well, there is a lot of difference, because there's a lot more money now, you know, seemingly in NIL for some of these. And it's straight up pay for play. There's no question about it.
But the rulings that... I mean, what Jason just read, the tweets from NCAA PR, it does represent... a couple of those are pretty significant shifts from how the NCAA had been advising schools...
But they're moving further and further away
from the
NCAA being involved, is what it is.
But they used to say there needed to be a lot of distance between the school and the NIL.
Yeah, now they're saying, no, the school can help negotiate the deals, or can put them with the third party to negotiate deals. We had a question yesterday too, and I got a response that there was a question about when we were talking about Caden Proctor. Going to Iowa, reportedly getting money, and then coming back to Alabama because he's getting more. Was told that there are no requirements for athletes at Auburn for them to be enrolled. So remember, there was a thing: do you have to be enrolled?
Yeah.
Auburn does not have a requirement that the athletes have to be enrolled, but they're required to make local appearances. So as long as Caden Proctor, I guess, made an appearance.
So this is on to victory, not whatever collective it is.
Yes, but I mean, at Auburn at least, it's not a requirement that they be enrolled.
Sure.
So in other words, a player can go ahead and get an NIL agreement before they are in school.
I wonder if people, and I know we got to take a break, I wonder if the Caden Proctor situation is going to lead to, at least in the short term, NIL collectives who say, all right, you get 10% of this now, and the other 90 on opening day.
Okay, you got $450,000. Okay, I got that for a couple of months. Now I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Do you have to get money back? No.
No, apparently not.
As far as I know.
You know, you ever watch one of those? You ever watch a heist movie where they give the guy half of it the job? You know, they give half of it now and half of it after. Like, there's a reason why.
It was the Eric Dickerson, you know, SMU, Texas, all this stuff, and Marcus Dupree. All these guys are going, all right, Marcus Dupree more gets a Camaro, and they go, well, I'm not going to your school.
I said that yesterday.
They're going to ask for it back.
I always wondered. Yeah, I always wondered why more players didn't just do that. If there's money being given out at some place, go to that place, get the money, and then go wherever you want.
They're going to go, hey, give me my money back.
They're going to go to the NCAA and go, wait, he took our money. No, don't think so.
I guess there's other ways to get it back.
All right, we'll get to our first break. Love for you to join in. You can do so by calling the Drive Hotline, which is sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840. 640 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
We'll get to our first break. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Trust Dixie Overhead Door to restore your garage door with a comprehensive tune-up. For a limited time, it's free for Dixie Cares Plan members and only $49.99 for others. Avoid a real-life nightmare and take care of the most important door in your home.
The numbers, well, we talked sort of about it. I mean, transfer portals are wide open right now. You've got
and
players
really
have been
that
into
busy.
Basketball.
No, it's not really that busy in football.
Not so far football, it hasn't been.
I think the reason why is you got a bunch of schools, SEC schools, where you can't go from one school to the other in this league.
That is correct.
And I think it's impacted it greatly because, yeah, now other conferences want
– a lot of kids, yeah, a lot of kids in this part of the country, they want to play in this league.
They don't want to leave this league. And I think it's impacted greatly the amount of impact players. We've seen a few. And I think the few that we've seen that are big impact players, wide receiver at Penn State, some of these others, we'll see. We just talked about it. How much does NIL factor in?
How can it match?
It's going to. And it's crazy. I mean, like, we're just talking about it. How you build a roster, it's going to be vitally important when you don't have unlimited funds. And A&M is a school that can go out and go get whoever they want.
A&M and Texas are going to have more money than anybody else in this league.
Correct. Florida is a school that has a lot of money. They will be in that mix. But nobody's coming close to the Texas schools when you start talking about this league. How much will that impact things? Because if you're Auburn, there is a limited supply of money, and people can. I wrote about this a couple weeks ago. I was like, hey. You can say I don't believe in this. Here. The fact is that if you don't play that game, you're going to be up against a wall.
And that's why I keep thinking, and we'll see if it plays out that way. So far, we're close to it. I keep thinking the true measure of a basketball blue blood is your football team trying to win the national championship? Because if the answer is yes, you can't be a basketball blue blood because the resources are spread too thin.
Well, you can at certain schools. That's what I said. There's certain places where you'll be able to.
But I would say right now, if you listed the basketball blue bloods, none of them are a football power, right? I mean, you think about the right now, you're talking Kentucky, UConn, Kansas, Arizona.
The blue bloods.
I think
bloods.
It's changed, though.
Carolina,
I think it's changed.
Duke. I mean, it's places where historically. There are places. Look, Alabama, Tennessee, and Auburn are places that are recruiting at a high
That's
level.
That's what I said. I think it has changed historically. But
it is funny how the places, and I think Arkansas. Like, I wouldn't want to be heavily invested in that football program right now because Calipari just got there, and I wonder if there's a fight.
They supposedly got a $5 million guarantee for his NIL in basketball.
If there's a fight for resources right now, I feel like the football program isn't going to win there.
Here's
in Arkansas
the thing
either.
About that, though. The thing about them is they're probably the third school behind the Texas schools in terms of NIL opportunities because of who's connected to that program. When you're talking about Walmart, Tyson Chicken, J.B. Hunt Trucking.
Jerry Jones. Right.
And Jerry Jones.
They may have as many resources. The problem they have from a football perspective is talent. You can have
in-state,
a bunch of money.
In-state immediate.
And it is so – you can turn things around so much more quickly in basketball.
Yes. And they also used to have the people used to say, well, Arkansas can go into the state of Texas more easily than anyone else in the SEC. But that was before Texas A&M got here.
Yeah, they weren't in the SEC.
That was before Texas and Oklahoma got here. And now I feel like everybody else
goes there. It's just like going to Georgia. Like Auburn for years was the one school – that went into Georgia and got other players. Mm-hmm. Then Florida State started coming into South Georgia a little bit. Now everybody comes to Atlanta. I mean, everybody goes to the state of Georgia and recruits. You know, Auburn was one of those schools in Florida where you go like, hey, Auburn goes to Fort Lauderdale and all these places, and all of a sudden you look up and you got Ohio State and then Alabama and everybody the same thing. Yeah, it's a much different scenario. But, yeah, the question is how do you do it when you don't have unlimited funds? And the answer is – Your collectives better grow, and they better grow in a hurry if you're going to do it. And because the people that give $1 million or $2 million a year, they can't do that forever. And you're right, they can't do it for multiple sports, and they can't do it for everything. It's why the average fan has talked about it for years. Hey, boy, it should be great. We need to be paying more to get this guy. Well, here's Here's your opportunity.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
put your money where your mouth is. Because
I said it. I said, look, if you had 50,000 people that gave $10 a month, most, you got a lot of people that can give $10 probably. That's $6 million a year. You do a lot of it with $6 million a year. I mean, there's 30-something thousand people at the spring game.
I think we're going to see more and more.
Do you know what the collective number is right now? A little over 3,000. That's it.
Oh, the members?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big gulf that you're waiting on.
I understand wanting to bridge the gap from amateurism to professionalism by saying, all right, we're going to go to a system where you're still amateurs because you're not getting a salary, but you're gonna be allowed to earn sponsorship money / money directly from the fans. You know, we're going to sort of crowdsource the earning of the labor. I do wonder how long we'll have that before people making decisions at the college administrative level.
I don't think it's going to be long.
Before they say, you know what, maybe a system where the players are receiving.
Everybody gets this much.
I mean, Bill, you were intensely familiar with this during your time as an administrator at Auburn, your time as an employee. Like, there are student workers. There are people who are, mm-hmm. you know, receiving a, you know, on top of everything else they get, they're getting money for whatever. Like, it feels like we're careening towards a system where...
Yeah, it feels like we're closer and closer.
We're classifying student-athletes that way, and you know, it's just... And with this, there's an in-between, but, I mean, the rulings today from the NCAA show that there's, I mean...
And here's the other part. Yeah, because for years you had the thought of, well, they can't get jobs, you're not letting them earn money. Well, now they don't have time because it's year-round. They don't have time to get jobs because it's the year-round thing. I mean, they're working out every day.
Right.
They're doing these things.
They can't take off for the summer.
No. You're there in summer school. You're doing all these things. I think it's heading towards, hey, here's what you have. Every sport, here's who they are. And that's why I think it's hilarious, this 70-team model that looks exactly like it was 25 years ago or 40 years ago, basically. But I do think in theory – that we're heading towards the haves and the have-nots.
Oh, yeah.
And it's heading
there. You're going to have an even bigger gap.
In a hurry.
Yep. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll talk a little specifics on the transfer portal and more. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. All right, so we talked a little bit about the transfer portal. More action really involving Auburn in the basketball portal than in the football portal. Jason, a little surprising that really the only new scholarship player that we know of that's in the transfer portal this period is Brenton Williams.
Yeah.
Because we knew J.D. Rim and Marquis Gilbert.
Correct.
And some of those guys
knew a couple of those guys. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a player or two that – decides to maybe test the waters, but that's the flip side of this. Once you test the waters, then you open up that door. And so I think there's still been meetings going on.
You jeopardize
guarantee that the door will open back up.
Yeah, it's like a one-way door. Yeah.
Scholarship guys are starting to wake up to the fact that they're jeopardizing spot by going in the portal. And so I could understand. And remember, everyone on this team, everyone had the opportunity to test the portal waters after the season was over and decided. I mean, and the guys on the roster now either went into the portal and jumped back or decided not to go into the portal at all. So I think on that side, maybe it's not so surprising that everyone in the group is still in the fold because they all had the chance to opt out a couple of months ago and declined the opportunity then.
Yeah, Brian Battee was one that you go, hey, does he test them again after going back? Because, you know, once you do it a second time, that's going to be it more than likely. And so you go, hey, and you know, that's why I was laughing about this is that when you make a move right now, you better be pretty sure you have a landing spot already. Because if you don't, then you're really taking a chance right now because it has to be the right fit for most teams or a desperation situation for a team that, you know, like Virginia Tech just lost a quarterback. They've got three scholarship quarterbacks going into season. They're going to go find another quarterback.
They have to, yeah.
And so now you would have an opportunity for somebody going, hey, I'm willing to come. Is that an option? But no, it's just the unknown. We're talking about basketball. I think they said by the time this portal window closes, they expect 2,000 basketball players to go into portal. an average of 5.5 per roster. There's not that many spots to come.
No.
I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And I don't know how you do it. And, you know, I talked to Hugh Freeze. There's video up on our YouTube page, Auburn Undercover channel at YouTube, but talking about flexibility and just basically going, hey, you have to let it go and you can't control it. You just have to do the best you can. And I think that's the only way to approach this right now, because if you try to micromanage a Nick Saban, Coach K, if you try to be that person now, you can't do it. And so you have to just go, hey, I can control what I can control, try to coach the guys and you know, figure out who's there and move on. I think that's the only way to handle it.
It's real. I mean, the folks who I feel for are, I mean, you think about players who used to spend a year biding their time and then they jump into playing time. And now it feels like it's a tough system because it's tough for a coach to rely on a guy who's somewhat unproven when there are proven options out there that he can recruit.
It is the catch-22.
And then for the player, I mean, how do you convince a player to bide his time for a year when, you know, after that season's over, you know, who knows what kind of market there could be for?
I think about a year ago we talked about this. It's the Bryce Brown basketball syndrome, to where you're not going to find that guy anymore. Because I think Trey Donaldson was a very similar guy.
You're not likely to have that guy. From his freshman year.
Yeah, second year you're going to get more time. Third year you improve and do the things you need to do. Aiden Holloway, same. Like, you need to take a step forward. But are you willing to do that? And it ain't going to be given to you.
Well, in theory, I mean, Auburn has a player on the team right now in A.D. Scott, who's a scholarship forward who just spent a year learning the system, not being called into action in crucial moments. Now Jalen Williams moving on. Chaney Johnson, you would think, steps into Jalen's role from last year, and Auburn has an opening for what they did with Chaney. They could go to A.D. Scott for that after seeing him for a year, or they could go with something more proven and give A.D. Scott another year of development, hoping he stays in the fold and doesn't decide that he needs to go find playing time.
I think the difference is how highly were you recruited.
Yeah,
I think that's almost exclusively has to do with how this thing is held. If you're a guy – and that's
unless you have put up numbers somewhere and have proven something, it's going to be, you know, how hot a prospect were you?
And that's it. And because I think then you go, hey, well, how many options did you have? Okay, well, I've got to go do it, because if I leave, then I'm not going to better myself. It'd be tough for A.D. Scott as a year as a scout team guy to wind up in a better situation than he has at all.
Right.
So you start going, okay. Whereas if you're a highly recruited guy, Aiden Holloway –
Trey Donaldson was not a lightly recorded guy.
That's what I'm saying. So you're the same kind of thing. I think it's easier to do that with – even in football, you go – you sign a 3-star pass rusher, really athletic guy, but a guy that maybe didn't have, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Auburn, Miami. That guy, I think, is more likely to go, okay, I'm going to work my way up and get my opportunity, versus a guy who was a 5-star. Man, I had all these opportunities –
I'm not playing as much as I want.
I'm leaving.
Right.
I think a lot of it has to do with how you regarded coming out the first time.
Mm-hmm. All right. I would imagine Auburn still very much in the market for a defensive line. And then Hugh mentioned receivers.
Yeah, I think interior defensive line, obviously Bleedy.
You think you might add it? Might look at an edge with Brent Williams gone now?
I think they were looking no matter what. I think that might have influenced Brent Williams anyway.
Look at that
they're looking for a guy.
Arkansas State guy.
Yes, I think that would be a guy that you would lean to pretty quickly when you start talking about potential targets in K'Ron Crawford.
He
started all 13 games for Arkansas State last year. 6'4", 240.
Led the team in tackles for loss and sacks.
Would you be? Have you heard anything about Carmelo English? In the portal from Central Phoenix City, was on the Michigan roster this past year, won, you know, part of the national champion. Back in the portal, largely unproven at the college level. I don't know how much he played at Michigan, but a guy who Auburn wanted when he was a high schooler back at a Central a couple of years ago.
That's the question: is what are you looking for? Because that doesn't solve your issue.
No, I think you're looking for a more proven guy.
Yeah, and that's what I thought going in. I think you're looking for a guy, I think you're looking for guys, especially at that spot.
I would think you're looking for guys with a little length, too.
Proven at a high level.
And it might be humbling for a Carmelo English to think, well, do I need to go to Conference USA or the Sun Belt to get on the field this year?
And put up some numbers.
And put up the kind of numbers that will get me to a high-level SEC program.
It's hard to do.
But if I were in his ear, I would probably say, what's the best Sun Belt program that would take you right now and put you on the field?
With no limitations on transfers, why not?
Yeah.
Why don't you do it?
I mean, you're
Georgia. Go play football, transfer as soon as the season's over.
You're an East Alabama, West Georgia guy. Troy, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, I think would all be.
Here's the flip side of that. The school. I've said it, and I firmly believe it right now. If I'm Derek Mason in Middle Tennessee, I am firmly buying into almost a junior college mentality.
Bring them in, develop them, win as much as you can with them.
Give us 2 years, and we will freely let you go, but you're going to have a chance to get on the field and produce. I honestly believe that is the future of those type of programs.
I also think the future of NIL is being able to sign 2-year deals.
Yeah, 2 years. Give me 2 years. And that's it. I think you can do that at a school like that.
I'll throw Texas State out there too as another Sun Belt program where a receiver could probably go in and play well and immediately, you know, put up the kind of numbers that would get noticed elsewhere. But if you're a Sun Belt team, you weren't getting a response if you contacted Carmelo English when he was a senior in high school.
No, but I think
this is your chance to have a talent like that on your program, even if it's just for one season.
There will be a Power 5 SEC level school that says, hey, come on, we'll take you. I think there's certain schools that would be in that mix.
Yeah, Auburn right now, though, with the young receivers they have, correct. They don't need another unproven.
You know what a coach told me last week, Jason? You can use this. The portal is full of kids who went to the biggest school that offered them a year ago. And said, you know what, if it doesn't matter because this is an SEC school offering me, so I don't need to go. And you know where they are a year later? They're back in the portal because it didn't work out for them.
Here's the greatest learning experience, and coaches have always said it. It's never been more important than it is now. You better return and respect every phone call you get because you don't ever know not only where that guy or those coaches are going to be, but where you're going to be in a year or two. And so
they were calling.
Correct. Important to respond, be courteous. Hey, take those visits. You may want to wind up at Auburn, and you may very well wind up at Auburn, but it might be a good idea to go look at some other schools just in case and kind of work your way up. Especially now, if you're a 5-star guy, you're a guy that. But if you're a 3-star guy, that you feel like you're a good player. And you feel like I've got a chance. I want to go to Auburn or I want to go to Alabama or wherever. Visit and go camp this summer. That's the thing. Go camp and show them you deserve an offer. But also, you know, go camp at Troy. Go camp at UAB. Go camp at Jacksonville State. Go to a football game there. Those are things I think that have been thrown by the wayside for a long time that are never more important than they are right now.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline. Love for you to join in one more segment with Jason Caldwell. So stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
This is Zach Alsterbrook with Alsterbrook Law Group, specializing in family law, criminal defense, DUI, and personal injury. Alsterbrook Law Group can help you. 114 North 9th Street in downtown Opelika, serving Lee County and the surrounding areas for over 10 years. Remember, if you want someone that has your back, call Zach. 737-3718. Big city experience, small town values. Alsterbrook Law Group.
No representation has made that the quality of services to be performed is the greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Russell Building Supply is your hometown home improvement store. You'll find what you need when you need it. And as a Russell Rewards member, you'll be in the know about monthly specials and exclusive offers. Russell Building
giving us some information of some giveaways that we have here. And we're trying to figure out how we're breaking it down, how we're going to give them away.
Tell you what we're going to do. So right. in hour number two, you want to do it right now?
Let's go ahead and start.
Okay. So we've got a pair of tickets to the old 280 Boogie presented by Standard Deluxe, the 23rd annual old 280 Boogie this weekend.
We have weekend passes.
There's events on Friday. There are events on Saturday. We can get you and a guest. Two people, we can get you in Friday and we get you in Saturday. So we got two tickets to this thing going on this weekend up in Waverly at the on the grounds of the Standard Deluxe, beautiful Waverly, Alabama. It starts Friday at 4 o'clock, goes on all day Saturday starting at 11 a.m. StandardDeluxe.com is where you can go for tickets. But we've got, you want to say next caller?
Absolutely.
334-321-1390.
First caller is going to get a pair of weekend passes.
That's right. So
the old 280 Boogie.
We'll get you in there. StandardDeluxe.com is how you can do it. We got a festival of music, art, food, and Southern culture, and a really cool thing they got going on up in Waverly this weekend, the 23rd annual. So, we may have a –
That didn't take long. The phone is ringing. Dan will get to that while Jason and I continue to talk here. Jason, I don't think we've talked since Auburn added J.P. Pegues from the transfer portal after seeing Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway along with K.D. Johnson enter.
Yeah, great fit. I had a chance to talk to J.P., talk to him after his visit, then called him. I actually texted him the morning of his commitment and said, uh-huh. Hey, you getting close to doing anything? Didn't respond. As soon as he hit send on his message, he texted me and said, hey, I just committed. I called him back in 5 minutes, picked up the phone. Great kid. I think when you talk to him, and I mentioned it when I wrote kind of an analysis thing, watching UConn, the thing that stuck out to me was they never seemed sped up. No matter what speed they played at, they always looked in control.
Didn't look rushed. Right.
And that's what I watch. That's what I see when I watch him. I see a guy that is in control. He said, look, that's what I want to be. I want to be that guy on the court. He said, because, look, if I'm flustered or if I'm rushed, then how can I expect my other guys not to do the same thing? And so I think this is a guy that you hand the keys to and say, let's go. You'll play other guys there. I mean, Todd Pettiford can play the point. Denver Jones can play the point. You go find a second guy that maybe give you some minutes. I feel like J.P. Pegues is a guy that gets you back to where you had been in the past few years, which is a guy that has 30 minutes, 32 minutes a game. And I think that's important. And so, good shooter. My comparison for him was J.D. Notte, that was when he was at Arkansas.
Mm, yeah.
Where a guy that is not playing above the rim, he's not a guy. He can do those things, but he just – hey, just finishes, gets to the free throw line, makes his shots, and he does it. And you look up and you go, man, that guy had 16 points. Consistency. I think double figures in all but two games, just kind of does his job and moves on.
Does Auburn need to find somebody else, or are they okay with Tahad and maybe Denver?
I think you're okay, but I think you look and see if you can get another option.
So where do you go to find somebody that's going to be okay?
And that's the thing.
With just a few minutes.
Go compete, and that's the thing. I don't know if – and that's why you may be more likely to go get another shooting guy and have Tahad and Denver guy. Jones that can both play the point if needed and go get another combo guy. I think, we're talking about power forward. The interesting thing to me is that, when do we find out news on Jani Broome? I think that's the one we're waiting on.
The sooner the better. There keeps being, like rumblings. It's going to be today. Well,
And the question is do you sell him on playing the four some? And I think you can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think so.
And you still probably need to go find another big guy anyway and go, hey, look, we're going to play you four and play – Dylan Cardwell, a lot of the 5 minutes, and then you play some of the five. Chaney Johnson plays some four, and then give yourself another option to play, maybe play the true five too. because I think it's an intriguing combination if you're able mm-hmm. to. Hey, if it's only 15 minutes a game, but if you got 15 minutes where Broom, who's gotten better at shooting the three, can handle the basketball, can that's his future position, is going to be a four. He's not going to be a five.
No.
Okay. I think that's intriguing. I think whatever happens for the Auburn basketball roster all hinges now on what Jahni Broom does.
No question about it. Jason, before we run out of time, let everybody know, I mean, what's coming up there at Auburn Undercover and how they can keep up with all of it and follow you.
Yeah, obviously lots of portal as we look to continue football, basketball portal. I'll have a kind of an insider tomorrow, baseball preview heading to Mississippi State this weekend. Video with Hugh Freeze, if you haven't checked it out, some stories written off that as well. Have more of those videos moving forward. You can check all that out at auburnundercover.com and follow me on Twitter at ITATJason.
All right, Jason, appreciate you coming in, man. It's always great.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we will be back. We have a winner. Oh, I thought you might want to tell. We'll talk about that. We'll give away some more in hour number two of The Drive.
Since 1997, River City Door has helped take the guesswork out of the garage door process. Maintaining a reputation as the region's premier garage door company, River City Door provides detailed installations with their highly certified technicians. Serving the I-85 corridor, River City Door offers both...
Is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan, our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, part of the 24/7 network, being with us for hour number one. Hopefully, you got a chance to hear Jason and his great insights. If you missed any, or you want to re-listen, all right, you're welcome to do that.
It's allowed.
Yeah, absolutely. You're very welcome to do that. And you know how you can? You can check out the podcast.
That's right. Refer back to what we've already done on the podcast. Available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. You can find that at Spotify. I know we're on Apple. You know, there's lots of quality podcasting places out there that carry The Drive. Plus, ESPNAU.com has the Podcast Center, which you can find. Go to your browser, just go to ESPNAU.com, look for the Podcast Center. That's presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. So shout out to Southeastern Industrial Contractors sponsoring the text box and the podcast.
We'd love for you to join in here in hour number two and the second hour of the show, as usual, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com.
Congratulations to Josh, called in at the end of hour number one and won our tickets to the old 280 boogie this weekend, presented by the Standard Deluxe, standarddeluxe.com, if you want to get tickets, although we might have some more before the end of the week for the old 280 boogie going on this weekend.
I think we may, but you need to be ready in case we do.
A festival of music, art, food, and Southern culture, two-day event going on this Friday and Saturday on the grounds of the Standard Deluxe in beautiful Waverly, Alabama. You got Billy Allen and the Pollies on Friday night along with the Wanda Band. And how about Butcher Paper Barbecue on site as well? In case that'll get a crowd going.
You're no kidding.
Yeah, Sue 79ers gang and Kim Register among the acts going on Saturday. A lot of cool stuff going on there. So you're not going to want to miss the old 280 boogie. A lot of vendors, with local stuff, and it's just a really good time. So check out the Standard Deluxe Old 280 Boogie, an event named an event not to miss, as designated by Alabama Tourism. That's standarddeluxe.com. Hey, you can check all that out, and might have some more tickets. Congratulations to Josh.
Yeah, appreciate Josh he was quick. Quick calling in right then. We'd love for you to call in. You can join us by calling The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
I forgot to mention in hour number one that we have our rescheduled Jake Crane appearance coming up in hour number two. So we're going to talk.
Oh, I did not. Oh, that's good.
We're going to talk.
Yeah, we had some problems with the phone yesterday. So that's good of Jake to be joining us today.
Yeah, so we're going to talk with Jake at 5:30, talk about some of the stuff going on in the world of the transfer portal. Some spring football happened this weekend. Didn't mention it was the Ohio State game was the first ever spring football game on network television. They've been on cable before, but the broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, Fox.
Is that right?
And NBC. No one had ever shown a spring game on their airwaves
before.
Well,
that tells you they're hurting for inventory.
The UFL can only play so many games on the weekend that, you know, they can show. But
I watched a little of the Stallions the other day.
That's right. It was a nice the UFL struggled with the – the UFL is actually, I think the rating of the primetime UFL game was considerably up versus the XFL and the USFL last year, sort of fighting for the same audience. So far so good, I think, for the folks with the UFL. But there was a lot of different sports you could check out this past weekend. It's one of the cool things about the immediate aftermath of football season, or the immediate aftermath of the college basketball season, when you just have, you know, whether it's golf or the NBA playoffs or the start of Major League Baseball, the Kentucky Derby is coming up, like the different spring events that pop up on the calendar, and we had a couple of them this past weekend.
We were talking about obviously the transfer portal is one of the biggest stories going on right now. Because you have the football portal, which opened yesterday. More players entering it today, but not at quite the rate that a lot of folks, including myself, including me. My mom would fuss at me. Don't say including myself. Including me. Thought there'd be more people, more players in the portal here within the first couple of days. But, there are some names. There are some good players that are in there. But I think Jason brought up a very good point that players – I think especially from the Southeastern Conference, might be hesitant to jump in because you can't transfer to another SEC school without sitting out a year.
Now, did the NCAA's ruling today change that?
Nope.
Because I know folks were wondering, like, if that's there was among the policies or the guidances that were changed by the NCAA or updated today by the NCAA, they talked about the was it progress towards graduation was replacing the year in residence rule. That was the rule they were trying to defend back in December that was knocked over by the preliminary injunction, because that was the rule that made it to where multiple year transfers who had not earned their graduate degree yet were going to have to lose a year of eligibility.
Well, the progress toward graduation means you still need to be on that 20% after 1 year, 40 toward a degree. But 20% after 1 year, 40, then 60, then 80, your first 4 years.
But they're specifically using that instead of the year in residence.
Right.
So
that's the only thing. That's what I was talking about when we were talking about Cottrell, the receiver, who has transferred twice, transferred at the end of December and then again at the just started yesterday. Transferred from Texas A&M to Kentucky. Now he's left Kentucky. But he's not going to be able to go to a third SEC school and play this fall. But the thing that can be a problem, you know, if you're transferring every semester, it's tough to have everything transfer and still be progressing toward a degree in any one particular field.
If you're transferring every semester, like there's a lot of problems in place. They're not the problem, right? I don't know if it's happens every semester. Like that's...
I had someone yesterday say, we were talking about Southern Cal because Southern Cal has had one of its top signees, and then Isaiah Rakes, the defensive lineman from Texas A&M that had transferred in December. They've had multiple players transferring out at the end of spring. I mean, they've lost, I think, three or four defensive linemen have transferred out. And, I was just wondering, what's going on at Southern Cal? Well, I was told last night that the feelings out there on the West Coast are Southern Cal's not paying these kids what they thought they were getting. They're not getting the NIL that they thought they were going to be getting. And yeah, that'll get kids to turn around and leave.
Sure. I mean, especially if it was, you know, if they were promised something initially and they haven't. I mean, whether they're newly arrived players or players who came in amid all that excitement about Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams coming to town. Like, I do feel like it's a pivotal year for Lincoln Riley without Caleb Williams now at USC, because if they're middle of the road or worse, like what is, especially since so much of this seems to be about unlocking the potential of their NIL capabilities. Like, what's the sales pitch to those folks? If the big dollar donors, like I don't know. I think it's tough for Lincoln Riley to sell it to him. Maybe a different coach who didn't underachieve. You know, I think that's going to be the attitude if things don't improve at Southern Cal. And it seemed like a lot of it needed to be on the defensive end. Losing guys like this probably aren't going to help things, even though they have made some coaching changes. But still, I don't know. That one feels like it's maybe trending in the wrong direction.
It sure does. It sure does. I mean, because that's been Lincoln's biggest problem, has been defensively. And, you make a coaching change and you don't have any players, then it's going to be difficult to expect it to improve quite a bit. We'd love for you to join in. Yeah, go ahead.
I think we need to hit the breaking news music.
What have we got?
I think we need to hit the breaking news music. And that is because, Bill, we need to hit the breaking news music because Jani Broom has announced that he is returning to Auburn.
Did I ask Jason? I said it's like
for a third season. Jani Broom.
That is the news that Auburn basketball fans have been waiting for. And as we just said about 15 minutes ago, it's been expected. I think quite a few folks were expecting it very, very soon.
Jani Broom posting a video on Twitter. Yep. In the last 10 minutes, 5:03 p.m. Is when the video went live with the announcement that Jani Broom will be playing his final year of college basketball, returning to Auburn instead of going to the NBA draft. Broom, who has the COVID year available because he is one of the high school class of 2020 players whose freshman year did not count against their eligibility in college basketball. Jani Broom will be returning to Auburn. It felt like during the season, it felt like this was the final Jani Broom season. I don't know, over the course of, you know, maybe the last few weeks, it started to pivot a little bit more towards there's a real chance he could decide to return. And now he announces his decision that he will be back for his final year of college basketball. Jani Broom returning to Auburn basketball.
Yeah, Wednesday mornings, I spent a little time with Wimp and Barry Sanderson, and they were asking what's going on at Auburn basketball. And I said, look, it all depends. It all revolves around Jani Broom. Now with J.P. Pegues in the fold, Jani Broom back, Auburn is looking for someone to help out in the front court, either at the 4 or 5, because I do believe Jani is going to get some work at the 4. I think you're going to see some Jani at the 4, Dylan at the 5. But I think you also need someone else to come in there. Obviously, Chaney Johnson is a guy that, you know, I think it'll depend on the teams Auburn's playing. If Auburn's better with a combination of Chaney and Jani, or Jani and Dylan. But again, you asked me this. We talked about it. I don't know that you could expect 80 minutes a game out of those three. So I think Auburn needs one more person to be able to help them down low, and they could use someone who could play, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a game in the backcourt. But, I mean, Auburn is much better shape. Jani is going to be one of the candidates for Player of the Year, and I'm not talking just SEC next year.
A massive piece of news, a huge, you know, sometimes the biggest, what were we just talking about that with
the best signing class,
I mean, when Cadillac and Ronnie and Jason Campbell and Carlos Rogers stuck around, you know, sometimes the most important job you do in recruiting is convincing your own players to stick around and give it one more season. And for the Auburn coaching staff, what a huge win in recruiting to convince Jani Broom to play one more year of college basketball. And for Jani Broom, what an opportunity to continue adding accolades to an already decorated career, first team all conference player, coming back has a chance of being a preseason first team AP All American on
top. Oh, I don't think there's any question.
Could be the preseason SEC player of the
year. Should be.
I mean, this is a it's rare for Auburn basketball to bring back a player who's going to have the kind of expectations that Jani Broome will have going into next season, and that's what they have now with the decision that Jani Broome is returning. He announced it on social media earlier today.
Huge news for Auburn. Hey, I did have something. We didn't get to this earlier when we were talking about the transfer portal. Did have something. I heard it discussed a little bit on the way in, and it was about Aiden Holloway visiting Alabama tomorrow. I will not be surprised if Aiden Holloway winds up at Alabama, because I have been told that it was Aiden Holloway and his family who contacted Alabama, because I heard some of the, oh, how long have they been trying to get him up there? I think this was something that was initiated by Aiden Holloway.
Now, there was Mark Sears news today. Mark Sears.
Yep, Mark Sears entering the draft but retaining his eligibility.
I believe both Nelson and Sears are in the draft. They've both said that they are keeping open the possibility and staying academically eligible on top of staying keeping their college eligibility in order to possibly come back to Alabama. With the news that Jani Broome is coming back, I mean, Lenardi, and I think Joe Lenardi may have projected Jani Broome to leave and for Auburn to replace Jani Broome. We'll see, but he had Auburn as a three. He had Auburn as a three in his most recent poll, or his most recent bracket projection. That was from earlier this week. He has Alabama as a one in that same projection. Mm-hmm. I think that's with Sears and Nelson projected to return. I don't know. But with Sears and Nelson, if Sears and Nelson come back, you're talking about two schools in Alabama and Auburn maybe coming in with the expectations as high as they've ever been for what the two programs could accomplish, or at least rarefied air as far as what, I mean, I don't know how many preseason top 10 seasons either of those programs have had in the last,
not many.
Yeah, and how about both of them being in the top 10 at the same time in the preseason?
Probably never.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're looking at going into this season, and a big reason why is because Jani Broome just announced that he's coming back to Auburn for his senior season.
Love to hear from you. Give us your thoughts on that. Anything else you want to talk about sports wise? Don't forget Jake Crane joining us at the bottom of the hour. So we'll open the phone lines when we come back here on The Drive on Wednesday.
Nominations are in and it's time to vote. Thompson Electric for Best Electrical Company of 2024. Voting can be made daily at bestofauburnopelika.com through April 22nd. Don't forget to vote. Thompson Electric, Best Electrical Company for the Best of Auburn Opelika 2024.
Inspired by the bold bison, Southern Union students blaze new trails every single day. They press forward knowing their SU education will lead them to success. Affordable, accessible, and locally unparalleled. Whether you're transitioning to a university or launching straight into a lucrative career, a degree from SUSEC can help you blaze your path. Three locations, dedicated faculty and staff, endless possibilities. It's all waiting for you at Southern Union. It's time to venture forward. Register today.
Sweetland Amphitheater presents the Roots and Boots Tour. Sammy Kershaw. She don't know she's beautiful. Aaron Tippin. You got to stand for something. Are you far? And Colin Ray. That's my story. And I'm Saturday, June 1st, 8 p.m. in LaGrange, Georgia. Tickets now. SweetlandAmp.com. That's SweetlandAMP.com or 678-701-6114. Roots and Boots, June 1st, Sweetland Amphitheater.
Hey, this is Billy Plummer with Apex Pest Solutions. The Best of Auburn Opelika voting round is open. Thank you to everyone who nominated us. Now it's time to vote for Apex Pest Solutions, the best pest control company of 2024. Vote daily at bestofauburnopelika.com.
At Reynolds Outdoors, they're all about hunting and fishing and loving the great outdoors every day. And if you are too, you'll love the great selection of guns and ammo, bows and arrows, rods and reels, gear and apparel. As an independent family business, Reynolds Outdoors can offer top brand names at hometown prices, plus friendly, local, expert service. So before you hit the woods, the field, or the water, head to Reynolds Outdoors on Geneva Street, Opelika, on Facebook and Instagram, and at ReynoldsOutdoors.net.
Attention large property owners and adventure seekers. If you're looking for a reliable and powerful off-road vehicle, check out the full lineup of Landmaster UTVs at University Ace Hardware. With a tough steel frame, four-wheel drive, and strong suspension, Landmaster UTVs can handle anything from hauling gear for a hunting trip, tackling chores around your property, or exploring new trails. Landmaster has a UTV for you. Visit University Ace Hardware today and experience the ultimate UTV in off-road performance.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Live on The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, Dan, we're just bringing up the news today from the NBA, and when I was hearing this, it's like this is a two-way player. I did not realize that. I guess you can place bets on anybody who's on a roster, even if they're not on the roster, but for short periods of time.
I mean, it's pretty significant news when a player is banned from a sport because he was gambling on his own. On top of not just providing information to gamblers and influencing wagers by feigning injury or illness, both of which are issues.
Yes.
I would say, but then also to be gambling on his own team's games and betting on them to lose.
Yeah, he's suspended for life.
He
right?
is suspended yeah. for life. Yes, he's the brother of Michael Porter Jr. And he's Jonte Porter. You remember Michael from
Missouri?
Remember Michael from Missouri. Yeah. This is brother Jonte, who spent much of his career in the G League, played for Missouri. During the same season.
I remember that. Came
on down the stretch from Missouri, appeared in 26 games for the Toronto Raptors this year, averaging 4.4 points, 3 rebounds, played for Memphis a couple of years ago, appearing in 11 games. Let's see here. The NBA said its investigation found that Porter had engaged in widespread gambling against league rules. He allegedly disclosed confidential information about his own health status to an individual he knew to be an NBA bettor. He claimed to suffer from an illness during that game and only played 3 minutes. Listen to this, Bill. An $80,000 online bet was placed.
Yeah, I saw
ahead
that.
Of the March 20th
game. The numbers here are just, I go, wow.
Someone put $80,000 on the unders for Jonte Porter.
I mean, I would think you'd get red flagged when there's a two-way player getting an $80,000 bet placed on him in the first place.
I don't know if this was part of a parlay or if the bet itself, what the odds were there. But
did it net? Did it say 1.1?
It would have paid out $1.1 million on an $80,000 bet. The wager was frozen for being conspicuously large, and then the subsequent activity. I guess the NBA said the wager was not paid out. Porter was placing bets on NBA games using an online associate's account. He wagered three times on three times on Toronto losing. The team he was playing for, and he was banned earlier today by the NBA. You wonder if we're on the surface or on the horizon of more gambling scandals because of the availability and the way that it has the accessibility of gambling has exploded. But a big story out of the NBA today is Jonte Porter banned from the NBA. He was giving info to gamblers. He was deliberately limiting his own play to influence wagers, and he was gambling on games.
How much was he playing? I really wonder. Yeah. I mean, again, a two-way deal. You don't expect him to be somebody that's coming in and playing, 20 plus minutes a game. I wouldn't think.
Let me get his reference up here. All right. This season he was playing 14 minutes a game in 26 games, and I mean obviously he's been suspended for a while, but he was he finished this season having appeared in 26 games. He started 5 of them for Toronto. He played 14 minutes per game. Let me see if I can find career highs and things like that. I know he broke 20 minutes in some of the games down the stretch before the.
I guess I was just a little surprised that he was playing that much, but.
I mean, turn 24. It turns 25 later this year, and if he's going to be able to, I mean, I would imagine there are some legal implications here on top of like I would think so. I would think that the NBA, you know, is not the only organization that's going to want to talk to Mr. Porter, but there's also the fact that his at least for the moment his NBA career is permanently over after the ruling today.
Yeah, so that's pretty big news there. Again, the big news from basketball here locally, Jahni Broome announcing a little over 20 minutes ago that he is returning to Auburn to play one more year of college basketball. What a veteran team. We talked about it. I mean, Jason Caldwell was saying, you know, and we've heard Bruce Pearl say, you want to be old now in college basketball as far as your team experienced. Auburn has that and much more. They've added J.P. Pegues, a fourth-year guy, but as a senior point guard. You've got a senior two-guard in Denver Jones. You've got a senior in Chaney Johnson. You have now fifth-year seniors in Dylan Cardwell and Jahni Broome. Chris Moore is a fifth-year guy who is returning. Auburn's got just they have worlds of experience on this team.
You think about the and obviously they could add more to it, but
right.
I
think they will.
We know that J.P. Pegues, Denver Jones, Chad Baker-Mazzara, Chaney Johnson.
Yeah, I didn't mention Chad as a senior as well.
Jahni and Dylan.
Golly, seniors
are all
this
playing
year.
Their last. Are all playing there, and Chris Moore.
Yeah.
And so I mean that's your and then you could add.
It's going to be a roster of a lot of guys in their last year. If A.D. Scott's back, it'll be a second-year guy, and then two incoming freshmen.
Right, and maybe Auburn adds somebody, you know, whether it's a younger player or an older player to fill in some of those forward minutes. But no, the senior class, the guys that are playing, I mean, that's the last dance or last, you know, the last ride sort of comparisons. They're apt because this is a group that's going to be sort of, you know, it's the last go-round for a lot of these guys. Maybe, you know, most of them have a basketball career waiting for them. In the short term, but as teammates, as a group, you know, that can accomplish the stuff that they fell short of this past season and defend the titles that they won
right.
this past season, it sets up to be a really special season.
Yeah, it's no question. The excitement's going to be there, like I said a little while ago.
It was already Beatlemania at these basketball games, right? And it's only going to be,
yeah.
I mean, your last chance to see, you know, your last chance to see the group. It's you know, this is the concert on the rooftop this season, Bill.
Yep,
right? You know,
this is
Let It Be and Get Back, you know, and all that stuff. They're playing on the rooftop this season.
Yeah, it's. So little pressure, high expectations, but that's great.
That's a privilege. That's a privilege.
Yes,
because you know who doesn't have high expectations or a lot of pressure this season are the places that didn't win.
Don't have it. Yeah, well,
didn't win like Auburn did these last couple seasons.
Every place. You think I think there'll be some expectations at Arkansas. They didn't win this year.
They didn't win this year, but they're you're right. You're right. Though I think there'll be some expectations to go get some players first of all there at Arkansas.
Oh yeah, we will see. I mean, how many more Kentucky players follow Cal to Arkansas? 334-321-1390. That is the drive hotline presented by Skybar. And let's get to it. Who have we got?
We got Jerry on the line.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. With Pettiford coming in, how many open positions do we have on the basketball team?
Well, you can have 13 scholarships. I think we, as we ran them down a while ago, okay, you go – Pegues, Denver Jones, Chad Baker-Mazzara, Chaney Johnson, Chris Moore, Dylan Cardwell, and Jahni Broome. That's seven seniors. If A.D. Scott's back, that's eight. You add two incoming freshmen, that's 10. Have I left anybody out? I would think that Auburn's got three, although they usually don't use all 13. So what we've talked about is somebody in the front court and somebody maybe to help out a little either at point or to allow Pettiford or Denver to play. So I would think most likely you're looking at two more spots.
It good news that Janai's coming back.
I don't think you could have gotten any better news basketball wise. No.
I might just say the next season.
Oh, you're not kidding.
Appreciate it, Jerry. Great stuff. Yeah, no, I think that's a that's as big a. I mean, it's as big a fish as Bruce Pearl could have landed. I mean, it was as big a story since the season ended. You know, the decision that Janai Broom had to make and where he was eventually going to land. Like this has a huge, just like it did last year. You know, his decision has a big say on what kind of season Auburn has the following year, and to get Janai back for one more year. It's enormous.
No question about it. Appreciate the call, Jerry. We will get to our bottom of the hour break. And, yes, I know it's Wednesday, but we had some technical difficulties yesterday. So Jake Crane of Crane & Company going to join us when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive.
T-Bone here. Do you wake up in the mornings wishing your body felt like it did 20 years ago? As the new year arrives, how about a new you with the help of Game Day Men's Health in Auburn? Whether it's low testosterone, weight loss, or erectile dysfunction, the experts at Game Day Men's Health offer a customized strategy to help you feel and look great. Text 334-487-8103, code ESPN, 10% off. That's 334-487-8103. It's a new year and a new you at Game Day Men's Health in Auburn. Code ESPN for 10% off.
Nominations are in and it's time to vote. Thompson Electric for Best Electrical Company of 2024. Voting can be made daily at bestofauburnopelika.com through April 22nd. Don't forget to vote Thompson Electric, Best Electrical Company for the Best of Auburn Opelika 2024.
The Orthopedic Clinic asks you to vote for them for Best of Auburn Opelika. Voting is now open, and you can vote daily for the Orthopedic Clinic all the way through April 22nd at bestofauburnopelika.com.
What's up, guys? This is Uncle Keith, founder of Uncle Keith's Red Sauce, Southern-style salsa, born in our Alabama kitchen, now found in local stores like Kroger, Publix, and Piggly Wiggly. Uncle Keith's Red Sauce goes well with burritos, nachos, taco night, and that old faithful chips and salsa. Order and ship nationwide to your friends and family at UncleKeith'sRedSauce.com. Remember, y'all, that's UncleKeith'sRedSauce.com. It's the best darn salsa you'll ever eat. It's good, y'all.
If you truly care about your feet and want to make them happy, check out Auburn's newest footwear experience, Love to Run. With the area's only pressure mapping system to analyze foot function, Love to Run identifies the perfect shoe for you. With brands like Ultra, Brooks, Hoka, they'll have your feet comfortably covered. So whether you're training for a marathon or just trekking through the marathon of life, Love to Run is ready to set the pace with you. 1957 East Sanford Avenue in Auburn.
Big eating in Auburn and Opelika means Big Mike Steakhouse. Famous for high-quality steaks cooked to perfection on an open-fire grill served in a relaxed, rustic atmosphere. It's happy hour at Big Mike's every Wednesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 and half-off select appetizers, draft beer, and well drinks. And don't forget, a Big Mike's gift card will always be the perfect gift for big city steak in your hometown. It's Big Mike Steakhouse in Auburn at Shigjourn Parkway and Wire Road.
Sweetland Amphitheater presents the Roots and Boots Tour. Sammy Kershaw. She don't know she's beautiful. Aaron Tippin. You got to stand for something. Are you far? And Colin Ray. That's my story. Saturday, June 1st, 8 p.m. in LaGrange, Georgia. Tickets now. SweetlandAmp.com. That's SweetlandAMP.com or 678-701-6114. Roots and Boots, June 1st, Sweetland Amphitheater.
The Drive continues. Continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan here on this Wednesday afternoon. And, yeah, I have trouble. Look, I, of course, I have troubles. No, I mean, I'm retired from the day job, from the full-time gig. So sometimes I have difficulty remembering what day it is. I'm really confused now because we have Jake with us, Jake Crane of Crane & Company joining us. It's usually Tuesdays, but I have to remind myself that it's Wednesday. No, we're really glad that Jake was able to reschedule. We had some technical problems yesterday, and we've got our good friend Jake Crane with us here on the Wednesday Drive. Jake, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. As somebody that does a live show every day, I know all about technical problems. So it's always fun hopping on here with y'all, and especially after some good breaking news in Auburn's way.
Man, no kidding. Right at a half an hour ago, the biggest, literally and figuratively, news that Auburn basketball could have hoped for, and that's the return of Jahni Broome.
Rejoice, Bill and Dan, rejoice. This is like getting your whole offensive line to come back.
Golly, no kidding.
Year, being able to run the ball, because it's not just Jahni. I mean, you got Dylan Cardwell coming back. Chaney Johnson, I think, has a chance to really become a breakout player next year. And you can make the case, and I don't think you'd be crazy to say that Auburn is going to have probably the best front court in the country next year. The question now is, and hopefully bringing in J.P. Pegues helps, can the guard play at least get close to match the front court play? Because Auburn is going to be very, very you bring back Chad Baker-Mazzara and then Denver Jones. I mean, Auburn's a couple pieces away from, look, this team being better than the one we had this past year. I know it didn't end the way Auburn fans wanted to, but you couldn't have asked for a better outcome so far in the transfer portal.
No, and then you add J.P. Pegues, a proven experience. We were just looking at it. Auburn's got seven seniors that they will be able to send out there and have in the rotation,
and we're
along with two very, very highly touted freshmen.
We're out of the era of questioning, like, oh, is he a senior with eligibility left, or is he really a senior? Like, these are seven guys who will be playing their last year of college basketball, and that's and guys who are contributors. I mean, it's going to be as experienced a team as Auburn has ever had, and I would think that it's rare to find an Auburn team that will go in with the kind of expectations that this team will have going into next season.
Well, look, I mean, in the era of the transfer portal, stability's always been important, but it's never been this important. And I tell you what, I would not be surprised at all if you see Jahni Broome really concentrate on continuing to be effective shooting the jump shot, the three-pointer. We watched Walker Kessler make a pretty big jump at Auburn from a three-point shooting standpoint. I think it's something that Jahni knows he needs to add to his bag to be able to take that new next step and be an effective player in the NBA. So, I mean, if you're looking at Auburn, I think some of these lineups could be pretty interesting as well, with maybe Jahni playing some four.
Yeah, I think so, depending on the matchups. Jahni at the four, Dylan at the five, and then when you want to go against some other matchups, maybe a little smaller, you're going to go Chaney at the four and Jahni at the five. I still think they'd like to add another player in the front court and probably somebody to go along with J.P. Pegues in the back court. But, I mean, you're now looking for just the finishing touches, I think, on the roster.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to sign the painting than actually have to paint it. I think that's about where Auburn is. And the thing, too, is you can be more selective, right, in that you're not having to fill up as many spots. Therefore, you can dictate more energy towards certain guys. You know, it's not robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's actually not robbing anybody, because Paul and Peter are getting paid.
Sorry, I'm over here running the board, too. Talking with Jake Crane from Crane & Company here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. And yeah, I mean, you think about what an addition like Jahni Broome, I mean, very few – I mean, there's a case there's a case to be made he's a first-team All-American next year, Jake, I mean, and preseason SEC Player of the Year. I mean, most of this past year – a lot of the top stars in college basketball stayed and played another year. It was just pointed out to me that when you look at the 15 the 15 AP All-Americans, there were five guys on three lists: first team, second team, third team. Of those 15, probably only looking at two or three of them coming back and playing another year of college basketball, and one of them is Jahni Broome. I mean, he is it. I don't know if Auburn's. I mean, I don't think Auburn has ever had a preseason first team All-American in program history. They have a chance at one this upcoming season.
They surely have a chance at having a guy who is in the conversation, if not one of the favorites for Player of the Year next year.
Yeah, well, if he isn't, then I give up on the whole thing because I don't know what else you got to do. And, I mean, you look around the rest of the SEC, you know, obviously Kentucky's going through a transition, Arkansas's going through a transition, Alabama's going to be interesting. I saw Mark Sears entered his name in the draft. But, you know, you can still go back to college now, which I actually like that rule. It's one of the few new rules that I like. But when it comes down to experience, the key factor in all of this, Auburn has it in spades, and you have experience of making a good run in a tournament and then having to bow out of the main tournament, and don't think this team is not going to have that chip on their shoulder. The expectation at Auburn is already really high. It's only going to get higher, and that's what you want. That's the position you want to be in. And Auburn is in it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at, I'm just thinking about who else would be in the mix. I mean, within the league, I mean, if Sears and Nelson come back, especially Sears, I would think that Mark Sears has a pretty good preseason.
Please, no, not again. I'm so sick of watching him.
I think he's coming back.
Yeah, I think Nelson and Sears are both coming back, and Alabama's also looking like a preseason top 10 team as well. But if Sears is back, he's a strong candidate for preseason conference player of the year. And you know, Josh Hubbard. Had a lot of people becoming fans of his at Mississippi State the way he played over the last month or so. But this is a huge addition or a huge retention for Auburn to keep Jahni Broome. And interested to see where he is. Somebody who developed his game and improved his game so much from you think transfers are going to come in as close to finished products because they've been playing a couple of years of college basketball. But Jahni was already doing various things at an expert level when he arrived. But what he's the way he's improved his game from his first game as an Auburn player to now, and where that progression could take us a year from now, is really exciting to think about because he's evolved tremendously.
Well, look, it's one thing if like Hunter Dickinson transfers in for 1 year. I mean, Jahni Broome knows where everything is. He knows the terminology. He knows the structure. And now from a leadership standpoint, I mean, him and Dylan and all these guys returning, you know, it gives you a chance to have that culture continue to grow and build. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the stability of bringing back not only a good player, but a top player at a very big-time position that affects – I mean, his defensive growth, I think, has been as big as anything. As we've seen with Jahni, he's always been kind of slippery. But adding that jump shot and then the ability to defend at the rim, especially with him and Dylan Cardwell both coming back, that's got to make you feel good about the defensive side. But it's seamless. The transition is seamless.
Talking with Jake Crane of Crane & Company here on the Wednesday Drive. We've been talking a good bit about the transfer portal. Jake, are you a little surprised? I am, quite frankly, that there hasn't been more action, more players entering the portal. We had Jason Caldwell on with us in the first hour, and he had an interesting thought. He said he thinks that perhaps one reason there aren't as many SEC players entering the portal is the fact that they can't transfer and be eligible immediately at another SEC school.
Oh, wow. Wait. A deterrent or a rule is keeping people from transferring? Like, that's how it should be. That's why when they let this thing out of the box with no guidelines or guardrails, it kind of went haywire. But Jason's exactly right. That's one of the main things. And then also, this is why before it opened up, I said this was going to be like the Czech Cola version of the transfer portal. Because of multiple things. One, if you're having to enter the transfer portal after spring practice, something good probably didn't happen. That's typically not how it works. Timing is everything. And if you're relying on trying to build your team right out of the transfer portal, especially the one in the spring, then you're dead on arrival anyway. So at the end of the day, it's a way to supplement your roster. It's a way to plug holes in the ship. You don't want to build the ship out of it because this time of year does not lend the Damian Martinez's and a couple of Kayvon Lambert and those guys, they're the anomalies. You're not going to get a bunch of top flight players hopping in the portal at this juncture. And then you add that rule in the conference that you mentioned, that Jason mentioned, and he's exactly right, which, you know, I'm a fan of.
I mean, The players from the Group of Five or FCS level that are looking to get a taste of major conference college football and think that there could be a market for their services, that's one thing, and I sort of understand. Mm-hmm. The if you're a power conference player, and I understand the playing time rules, but playing time decides a lot of these decisions. But if you're a major conference player and you're going in the portal now in search of playing time, you're jeopardizing your status as a major conference college football player, because a lot of these guys are finding out that there's not a tremendous market for someone who couldn't crack the depth chart at their first school, especially if there's a reluctance to move down to the Group of Five or the FCS or the junior college level, yeah, where they have playing time, but they don't have the creature comforts that you'll get in the SEC or the Big Ten.
Look, man, sometimes you shouldn't fly first class. I mean, and you better make the right decision, because we don't talk about the guys that get left in the portal. Nobody likes talking about that. They like talking about, oh, this guy went there, or this rule's not very good. There's a lot of guys that go in that portal, and it turns into purgatory. They never get out.
That phone's not guaranteed to ring, is it? Is it?
No, it's not.
Just because you're open for business does not mean the phone is going to ring. And that's, I've heard about this more in basketball than in football. That there really is. I mean, it's a status thing to not, you saw yourself as an SEC player coming out of high school. You saw yourself as a major conference player coming out of high school. And to, it's a tough pill to swallow to realize that you may, your best shot at playing time in the immediate future, your only shot at D1 playing time is to go somewhere that you may not have considered when you were in high school.
Yeah, well, humble pie doesn't taste as good as apple pie, that's for sure. But look, the smart ones that understand where they're at, and a lot of that is understanding where you're at and where's your best chance to play, your best chance to be seen, your best chance to get tape out to go to the next level. And sometimes that is going down. And there's stories of guys that have transferred down and ended up having great careers professionally and vice versa as well. So at the end of the day, it's about putting yourself in the best position possible. And sometimes for young people, that's hard to do, because, everybody wants to be an astronaut.
As we, as we're here in the portal with just about everybody done with the spring, love to get a couple of quick takes from you as to the things that are teams that you feel have really improved themselves from last year heading into the offseason.
Well, I mean, it's easy to sit here and point at some of the top dogs and look at their recruiting class and some of the young guys and then some of the transfers. But
yeah, no picking. I mean, you can't pick Georgia, all right? You're not allowed to pick Georgia.
I would say, the teams that are very intriguing to me, when I look around, I think A&M, the way they're kind of building it, is the right way. They've lost some guys to the portal, but I think they've made some good additions. You're not seeing as many guys leave after this spring. One of the guys that left sat out the whole spring. Colorado is very interesting to me, because all I heard Deion say when he took that job is that he's bringing his Louis with him, and they've got more important players in the portal right now than anybody. So yeah. I don't know if his luggage got lost during the layover or what, but that new car smells off, and they're expecting results after winning four games last year, as kind of oxymoronic as that sounds. But look, I think Auburn's going to be improved. I think Auburn's going to be improved from a pass rush standpoint, and then obviously you know what you put on the outside. Now we'll see with the new DBs that we have. I know there's a lot of talent there, but I think Auburn's going to be an improved team up front, which should improve, the product on the field.
Jake, again, we really appreciate you adjusting your schedule and being on with us. Let everybody know what's coming up on Crane & Company, and for those that haven't accessed it, how they can.
Yeah, well, look, it's really easy. Whether you watch your shows or listen to your shows, you can find us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that. It's Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N & Company. We talk a lot of Auburn, talk a lot of SEC, a lot of college football. Take live calls, want to hear from y'all. We have great guests that come on as well. So come hang out with us.
Appreciate it, Jake. Thanks again, man. Have a great week.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Jake Crane joining us, usually on Tuesdays. We appreciate him adjusting that schedule after some technical difficulties yesterday. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Our members love us.
Oh, yes. Ever since I got off active duty, they have helped me. I would recommend to anyone, if you really want to to get your finances in order, come and see for yourself. I promise you, they will help you get on the path to financial freedom.
Four Seasons Federal Credit Union with two local branches. Membership eligibility required. Accounts federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Hey, this is Billy Plummer with Apex Pest Solutions. The best of Auburn Opelika voting round is open. Thank you to everyone who nominated us. Now it's time to vote for Apex Pest Solutions, the best pest control company of 2024.
Vote daily at bestofauburnopelika.com.
Trust Dixie Overhead Door to restore your garage door with a comprehensive tune-up. For a limited time, it's free for Dixie Cares Plan members and only $49.
The Wednesday Drive, and let's get right to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Sky Bar. And Grant is up first. Hey, Grant.
Hey, Bill and Dan. I'm a big fan of your show, and I appreciate what y'all do for Auburn sports in the community.
Appreciate that.
If Janiah Broome coming back, it is almost like getting 2 5-stars and this changes a lot of demographics, or whatever you want to call it, for Auburn basketball going into next season.
There's not a player Auburn could have landed in the portal.
No.
That makes the kind of impact that Janiah Broome staying makes. Like the biggest move anyone's made in the portal this offseason, I don't think is as big as being able to get a player like Janiah Broome back for one more year.
And I totally agree with you. And this is like, we're looking, for Auburn better than Kentucky, Alabama, Missouri, going into this offseason, and they're like picking up crumbs off the floor, and we're buckling up, getting ready for next season.
Well, there are some programs. I would say it's odd because especially places like Tennessee, Kentucky, and Arkansas are having to replace huge pieces of their roster. Or in the case of Tennessee and Kentucky, Arkansas and Kentucky, they're replacing coaches.
Coaches, too.
Having made coaching changes. Alabama and Auburn would seem to be, based on, especially if Alabama can land Sears and Nelson back.
Like, you're right.
If they can get their big retentions to come back from the NBA draft, we're looking at a situation where those are your two contenders.
Yeah, those will probably be your top two.
Those will be your top two teams in most people's eyes. Now, if Kentucky,
that's what we love.
Yeah, if Kentucky builds a roster that folks think, or Arkansas for that matter, builds a roster that folks think can hang with the top teams in the SEC, that's hard to do in a month. That's hard to do in starting in the middle of April with no players already bought in. So, yeah, I think we could be looking at a year where Auburn has expectations as high as they've ever been, and the ones in the state.
It's for
right
Alabama
there.
Too. I mean, Alabama has. I'm a big Auburn fan, but Alabama has huge ceiling of what they can do next year. If Spears comes back, it's all up to that young man. But it's a great place to be a fan and of basketball in the state of Alabama.
Unbelievable to have this in the state of Alabama. Great stuff, Grant. Thanks for the call, Specter. We got about a minute. What's up?
Well, I'm glad to see Broome come back. Had a feeling he would after what happened in the Yale game. I see Donaldson and Holloway coming back out of the portal now.
Nah, I don't think so.
No, they want playing time.
I'm telling you, we're going to need those guards next year.
Auburn may need them, but I think with the addition of J.P. Pegues, both of those guys are wanting more minutes than they'd probably see at Auburn.
Well,
and Holloway, I do, again, I mentioned this earlier, from my understanding is that Aiden Holloway and his family contacted Alabama.
Donaldson's been a hot property at places where
he's in Michigan.
He thinks he can start as a point guard.
We'll see. All right, appreciate it, Specter. Yeah, we'll see.
It'd be great to get one of those guys back.
Oh, it would.
I just don't
think that's going to be the case. Fun show today. Appreciate Jake Crane rescheduling. Jason Caldwell being with us for hour number one.
Should have Ferguson tomorrow, I imagine.
Yeah,
tomorrow's
I think so.
I think I'm going to tape a podcast with him tonight. We're talking some Janiah Broome. I'll bring it up.
Oh, yeah,
then.
I would think so. Yeah, looking forward to that. We're out of time here on the Wednesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.